As we continue our series of talks on faith, our sermon this Sunday is going to be a little bit different. Rather than talking to you about the reading we've just heard, I'm going to reflect on the gospel reading from the point of view of Peter, as he and the other disciples begin to learn just what it might mean to have faith in Jesus. It had been a busy time, travelling with Jesus as he fed the hungry, healed the blind, and of course had regular run-ins with the Pharisees, much to the crowd's delight. It was exhilarating to see what a difference this good man was making, and how so many people would rush out to meet us wherever we travelled. It made us feel special, as if we were riding the crest of this wave of success and popularity. What a wonderful thing it was to follow Jesus. And then we came to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and everything changed. From here in the foothills of Mount Hermon, you could see for miles to the south. We looked over Galilee, the area where Jesus had undertaken so much of his ministry, and beyond to Jerusalem, the place where Jesus had told us we were now heading. Little did we know what that would mean. And it was here, with one foot in the past and one pointing to the future, that Jesus asked us a question. Who do you say that I am? Well, of course, there were rumours everywhere we went of who people thought Jesus was. John the Baptist or Elijah being some of the more popular answers. But amongst ourselves, we had started to whisper another name. A name which sent thrills of hope down our spines. A name which we hardly dared to speak aloud. But in this moment, I found myself daring to voice our deepest longing. You are the Christ. Since the cradle, we had been raised on the stories of God's Messiah, the one who would come to save his people from oppression, the mighty warrior who would unite the people and rule as their king. And finally, after 2.5 years of following Jesus, I was ready to have faith in him as that Messiah, the Christ. What a wonderful thing it was to follow Jesus. Having said the words, I felt a rush of adrenaline and waited for Jesus to congratulate me on getting it right, on finally seeing the truth of who he was, of having faith in him. But instead, his reply took me by surprise. Do not tell anyone. Why would we not tell people? I wanted to shout it from the rooftops, to tell everyone I met this amazing discovery. The one we have been waiting for is finally here. But Jesus knew that this one small step, this one moment of confession, did not mean I understood what it truly meant to have faith in Jesus as the Christ. Well, I had faith in him as a good man, one who solved our problems, taught us moral lessons of how to live, and championed our cause against Rome. But his next words turned my world upside down and turned my certainty into a question. What did it even mean to follow Jesus? We had expected a Messiah who would raise an army, ride into Jerusalem and defeat Rome. But Jesus calmly and clearly explained that the long-expected Christ was to suffer, be rejected, and killed. He also said something about rising again after 3 days, but by that point I had seen red. These words could not be true. This vulnerability, suffering, and defeat was not what I understood the Messiah to be about. I needed to nip this in the bud and correct Jesus's ideas of who he was. Far better to continue to be seen as the good man, teaching great moral lessons and gaining followers. Any talk of suffering and death needed to be forgotten. Well, I will never forget the look in Jesus' eyes as he uttered those words. "Get behind me, Satan." In seeking my own comfortable version of following Jesus, I had missed the point that as his disciples, we were not there to guide, protect, or possess Jesus, but rather to follow him wherever that road may lead. Although it would take betrayal and forgiveness for me to truly understand the mission of the Messiah, I began to get a glimpse in this moment of the sheer scope and divine reality of who Jesus is and what having faith in him might mean. My understanding of what it meant to follow Jesus, first experienced on a sunny seashore, was now being redefined in the shadow of a cross. Did I still want to follow Jesus? As Jesus continued to talk, I, along with the crowd, listened in silence as he described the reality of being his follower. That those who come after him will deny themselves and take up their cross. That success for Jesus and his community will look like shedding selfish, self-centered behaviour and giving in a costly way to serve others. You could see the expressions on people's faces, puzzlement, uncertainty, disbelief, all mirroring exactly what I was feeling inside. If this was what it meant to have faith in Jesus, could I still follow Jesus? But Jesus hadn't finished. In the upside-down world of the kingdom of God, he said, it was in turning away from a life focused on saving itself to a life which imitated the ways of God that we would find the true, full, glorious lives we had been created to live. It was in setting aside our desires for selfish success and gain that we would receive the gift of eternal life. And it was in choosing to follow in Jesus's footsteps that we would share in his glory. Jesus's words were an invitation into a faith so much richer and deeper than we had dared to imagine. There was no promise the way ahead would be easy, but there was the promise that if we followed in faith, trusting in Jesus as the true Son of God, and opened ourselves to transformation, that we would discover life. What a wonderful thing it is to follow Jesus. And so we continued from that place on the road to Jerusalem, placing our feet in the dusty footprints of the one who walked ahead of us, choosing a life shaped by faith and trust in the one who is the very source of life itself, as we followed Jesus on the way to the cross. And so, as we walk the path of Lent to the foot of the cross on Good Friday, what might it look like for us to choose to follow Jesus anew today?